It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the holiday season, and the holiday cheer is heavy for the When Magic Happens family. Tis the season to be jolly, to wrap gifts, to carol, watch cringy Hallmark movies, and warm up with some spice cider as you decorate your home. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Cheryl Jackson, here with Taylor Coward and Jennifer Shea Love Long. And all I want for Christmas is a man who can act right, y'all, and some new Jimmy Choos. Seriously, on the man that can act right, because I literally just group chat my girlfriends like, you know what, can you just order that for me for Christmas? A good man? I'll pay for shipping. Okay. I'll pick that up. And then my girlfriend said, it's a supply chain problem going on right now. I need to know what's on y'all's lists, what movies you got queued up, holiday traditions, and of course, need to know your holiday soundtrack. Heads up, this is a grown folks conversation about Christmas. So if you've got little ones, this may not be the conversation for them. All that and more coming up.
Sources and Methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
All right. So, what's a classic Christmas movie for you? What puts you in the holiday Christmas spirit?
Well, you know, my go-to is I like Home Alone, because there's like something like kind of nostalgic about it. But I also like Best Man's Christmas or Best Man's Holiday. Hmm. Let me just give a little caveat to that. I like the movie because it has Christmas in it. But it's kind of a sad movie.
Morris Chestnut is
in it. I know. That's what I know.
He could be wrapped
about.
Over the back.
There's my Christmas gift right there. it's a sad movie. I wouldn't watch that at Christmas. It's just sad.
What happened?
And sad.
I mean, maybe I could pick a different movie. Because that's the one. I like it because it's like.
Did someone die?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's sad.
Bummer.
She died too.
What happened?
She's sad.
I'll Google it.
Okay.
You want to pick a different one?
Yeah.
Or it's got to be a classic, though. What does it for you? What triggers it's the holidays for you?
1964's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that.
That's a
good
classic.
One. That gets
that's
me in the
classic.
Swing.
Yes.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
I knew that nose would be useful someday. I knew it all along.
Oh, that's a good one.
And my new age pick, I'll do an old and a new.
Okay.
My new one is Elf, the Will Ferrell Elf.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
that
good.
That is a good
that's
one.
Good. Okay, here's my little lineup. It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm.
Okay, classic, deep, black and white classic. The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
The old Grinchy Claus hissed, and he climbed to the roof with empty bags in his fist. He'd slide down the chimney, a rather tight pinch. But if Santa could do it, then so could the Grinch.
Yes.
Charlie Brown's Christmas classic,
okay.
Clearly. And then a new one, new-ish, is Jangle. I love that movie. I watched it for the first time when it first came out with my nieces. And they were just I just can remember their little faces. They were just so enraptured in, with that movie, Django. It's cute. Have you seen it?
No, not yet. Is it Django, not Django?
Yeah,
Django. I'm like Unchained.
No, we're not talking slavery, a slave movie. This is
a Quentin Tarantino joint.
Right. I can see some people not in the Christmas food.
My humbug.
It's 60 degrees.
All right. Django. J-A-N-G-L-E. You know.
Okay. Got it. Taylor, got it.
You Google everything else.
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now.
Right. Django.
Got it.
I want to see that. Okay. My two are Home Alone, and that's my old school one, Home Alone, but also The Polar Express.
Well, you coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course.
This is the Polar Express.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. I love that movie.
That's a good one.
Those are like, and then you know what? Anything, you know how sometimes like during the holiday, you could literally turn on like Lifetime or really any channel, and they're like playing all these Christmas movies back to back.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Hallmark.
Yeah, Hallmark. That. Hallmark. That's right.
They were doing that in July.
Well, yeah. Christmas in July.
Christmas in July. I'm like, really, Hallmark? Really? Okay. All right, what about music? What are the classics that say it's Christmas for you? Taylor?
Donny Hathaway's version of This Christmas.
Oh, yes.
That's the only one that I honor. Me and my mom really like Santa Goes Straight to the Ghetto by James Brown.
I love that one, too. I love that one. Goes straight to the ghetto.
That's a great song. What about you?
Okay, song that comes to mind for me for Christmas is, The Temptations' Silent Night, like their version of the Silent Night. You know, actually, I remember my parents, my brother, his family, and my kids. We were in front of the National Black History Museum in D.C., and this guy was playing music, and he put that song on.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse."
And literally all of us started singing it, like my dad got in on the low, deep
voice. He did that really deep.
really
deep.
It was so much fun. But I love that
song.
That's
so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I like Nat King Cole's
The Christmas Song.
Yes, from 2 to 92.
"Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas, okay?" I love that song. Also, I also love the music track to Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Oh, yes.
That's beautiful.
Hey, Brubeck's in there, you know.
That is classic.
It's classic. Classic jazzy Christmas.
Yes.
That just says jazzy Christmas classics says Christmas to me more than anything.
Ooh, and Frank Sinatra. We're a Frank Sinatra household. I love all his Christmas jams. I think Noel is a little too intense. I heard it at a coffee shop, and I was like, okay, turn that down. Francis was feeling it. But Nat King Cole has, like, the perfect Christmas voice. Like,
yeah, he does.
Even on non-Christmas songs, I'm like, you know you're supposed to be singing about chestnuts.
That's right.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Ooh.
Jack Frost
sniffing at your nose.
There you go. There you go. Did y'all believe in Santa growing up? Anybody?
I did.
You did?
I did.
For how long?
What do you mean? I mean, I was in high school. Just kidding. I mean,
I was like, what?
I was like, I wanted a car. I'm like, well, who else is going to bring it? No. I do remember the year. I think that was the year I got a Munchie Chee. Anyway, I do remember the year that I was told that it wasn't real, because it was kind of like I was the older sibling and I couldn't ruin it for the younger one, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it always feels like at being the older sibling, you find out first, you know, like you still got to make the younger one feel like it's a thing.
You're wrapping gifts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, so like when do mine get here?
Yeah. What about me?
Right. But yeah, no, I think I was older though. I feel like 10.
Okay.
Or 11. 13.
Oh, wow. That's a good little haul.
They held it up for a long time.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Cheryl.
But they made it. That like it was always it was it, it was like you wanted to believe because they just made it so special.
Yeah.
So it was like I don't want to let go of this.
Would you do the whole cookie with a bite in it?
Yeah, with my kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's what keeps it going for people. They're like, somebody ate this cookie.
Well, I didn't drink the milk, but I poured it out.
Did you have the food there for the reindeer? Because that's what Bliss required.
Yeah, like, the carrots.
Can I leave out food for the reindeer? Yeah, carrots.
Some carrots for the reindeer.
What do they eat?
A little bit of water.
Oh, water and carrots.
And some oats.
I found out pretty young. So all of this
you're
is
like,
new
no.
to me. Yeah.
But how young?
So Taylor, you did believe in Santa Claus at one point, right?
Yeah, because of the 1964 Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I was like, he lives with these people. And then around like 5 or 6, I turned my gift around. And I was like, why is my gift taped with my mom's medical tape?
From her work.
And Santa had access.
I took it to her and I said, Mom, this is your tape. She said, well.
She have a good comeback for that.
She did. Well. She said, well.
She said, it don't rip the paper. And I was like, all right. So then I kind of like Jennifer was just like, continuing the charade for my brother,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
to keep him engaged. What about you, Cheryl?
Shall know. Oh. Okay. They didn't even put up the pretense. Never, ever.
Really?
Was
never.
Santa not of God?
It was like, yes, like, no, you're right. This is a God-fearing household. Santa didn't have anything to do with this, okay?
Jesus brought you
the true spirit. It's a true spirit of... Christmas, okay.
Oh, that's so funny.
So we did not grow up believing in Santa Claus. I mean, we knew Santa Claus itself wasn't real, but here's the thing about kids. Kids are dumb. You still buy into it, okay? You know better, but you still are like writing your letters, your list, getting your list together for Santa. I mean, you're still doing all the things. That's the thing about I remember, you know, we were 20 and 19, and my cousin, she was maybe about 6 or 5 or something like that. And so, and we were all really close to her. And this was before my nieces and nephews came along. And so she was, you know, excited about Christmas. I don't think she really bought into, especially with her mama, my crazy aunt Doris, definitely wasn't going along with this is Santa Claus is real. So, but we called her, my brother called her, said, you know, trying to scare her up, like, little girl, I heard you haven't been good. This is Santa. And you haven't been good. You need to do X, Y, Z, or I'm not going to bring you your gifts. She pauses. She says, okay, Santa Claus, who is this? Okay, so she bought into the idea of, yes, Santa's talking to me, but you're not the real Santa. So kids are really, the way we suspend things, so we can really, you know, get into, we want to the fantasy. We want to believe in the fantasies, and it's so fun to believe in it. I was not raised. Yeah. Or we used to get really excited. The night before on Christmas Eve and the 10 o'clock news and they would report, the weatherman would report, like, hey, we're looking at the radar Doppler, and we spotted Santa Claus and his reindeer, and they're making their way. They're leaving North Pole, and they would have it up on the TV screen, and we'd be enthralled. Mm. Like, oh, my God, we better get to bed. Santa's on his way, even though we knew there was no Santa Claus.
It's just so much. Even there is joy in making it happen, mm-hmm. and joy in watching them experience it happening.
That is true. Yeah. In making it, because I got in on the elf action, Mr. Elf, every day trying to come up with new places to put the elf on the shelf. And, you know, that whole, I never knew about the elf on the shelf, that like you have to move it every day. Mm-hmm. We made a video of Mr. Elf and what he was doing in the middle of the night. And that's when Marissa, who did not believe in Santa, became a believer. She's like, I saw him on video. He is real. Okay. And we animated him and everything. I mean, he was very elaborate. And it was so much fun. And just to see her just buy into it, you know, just fully buy into it. And her eyes were just big as saucers, and the excitement, the breathy excitement. And she was a believer. And that was a hard act to follow. But it was brilliant.
Well, adults should also be allowed to suspend disbelief sometimes. You know what I mean? Is that how you say that phrase?
No, that was good. Matter of fact, that's a phrase I should have used. Saying what kids, they're calling kids dumb. I should have said
kids are dumb.
Suspend. It's suspend.
But
reality.
You got your point across. We knew it's
dumb. Don't have kids.
Kids are dumb.
Okay.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Adults deal with adult stuff, and so it's probably nice to buy into that for at least a day. And
it is. It really is. And that's so fun.
And, you know, it also is like your favorite movies are on. Yes. It's cold, yes. So everyone is inside together. I think all the elements are right to just make it like a very wholesome time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, child, we kicked off the holidays, Christmas, yesterday with my mom and my sister.
Early.
With Ernestine and Michelle. Like, come on, Cheryl, we going to Big Lots, okay, Home Store and Hobby Lobby, okay? We got to get these holidays started. I was like, but at Big Lots? Okay. So we went.
Do you do a tree and stuff? Do you not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Now, wait. Honey, when do you put your tree up? Do you put it up before Thanksgiving or like?
Yeah.
I do.
Matter of fact, if we had our way, my mother's now taken to putting the tree up on November 1st.
Oh,
so
wow.
Basically, Christmas is now all of November except for Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving.
Miss Ernestine said Jesus is the reason. Yeah. For the season.
For every season. Okay. So,
starting in November.
Not just that season. Every season. So it's November and December. Oh. And the decorations remain up at least maybe a week after Christmas.
That's more important. When do you take it down?
I could could never mm-hmm. take it. Like, I just love them.
When do you take it?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a couple, it's a couple weeks.
Sometimes we like, should we just put hearts on it? Like, it'll be Valentine's Day. And we'll be like, let's just throw a heart on there. But that's my mom's favorite activity is trimming the tree and, like, putting things on it. She still has all our homemade ornaments that we made for school projects.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And so she's going to put those up. And
what kind of activities are we doing for Christmas?
Well, first I feel like I need to know, are we artificial tree people or real tree people?
I'm straight artificial.
Me?
It's in my attic.
Too. There is nothing worse than stepping on a real pine when you're not expecting it and you're barefoot. I had to, like, pull a dry one out with tweezers.
Ooh, yikes.
And I thought I was going to die.
Oh.
I didn't.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Obviously. Sorry, Cheryl. I just really needed to know that because I didn't know this was so divisive. Because some people don't value artificial. Okay.
Yeah, I use artificial.
Well, if you are going to have your tree up for 2 months, you got to have an artificial tree because the real one will dry out. My sister, however, she is 10 toes down for the real deal.
And it's a nice smell.
Yes.
Yeah, it is a nice smell. Do you do one or two trees?
What?
Or three?
I only do one. I have a girlfriend that has 3,123 trees in her house, okay? Mm. It's in the bathroom. It's in two in each bedroom. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Wait,
the trees are everywhere.
We was doing more than one tree?
Well,
I only do one tree.
Two trees, but one's small and one's a big tree.
Where do you put your big tree?
In the sunroom.
Okay.
And then my little tree is in the living room.
Do you decorate?
Mm-hmm.
Tiny decoration?
Yeah, just a little tiny. You know, it's like, there's just, you know, just a little something.
Huh.
Yeah. I just I'm like, well, it's an extra tree. So I'm like, let's just decorate it.
Oh, okay. That's fun. Yeah.
So, like, you could be, because, like, for example, you know, This is me thinking, because I've been rethinking what Christmas looks like, mm-hmm. right, post-divorce. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, one, I want to move the tree to a different room, right, to a room where we create a new memory. Mm-hmm. But I also still want this one room that it used to be in is a very warm and cozy room. Mm-hmm. I still want there to be that energy and feeling in the room, but I just don't want it to be the focal point anymore. So
little
I put another little tree in the living room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I switched it up.
Yeah.
But it still can be a place where people can come and feel Christmassy.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So Christmas activities, what are we doing? What are we doing for Christmas? What says Christmas? What are you, is it a party? Is it a caroling? You know, those Kris Kringle markets are really kind of big. I have a girlfriend who has an entire room dedicated to wrapping gifts. So what do you all do for a Christmas activity?
Well, it depends. Like, it depends on, you know, what's happening for Christmas. But if my kids are with me for Christmas, then I like to do certain things like, you know, we might go see a play. Like, sometimes we'll go see a play at the Alliance Theater that's like a Christmas, depending upon what they've got, mm-hmm. you know, playing. But we'll go see a play. We go to other Christmas parties. We might have people over and do like a little Christmas party at our house. And, you know, it's funny because we used to live in a place where people would carol. And that kind of stopped when the kids were younger, so we don't do that much anymore. And really just, you know, like one thing I love is, and even my son, you know, he'll participate in this. We'll just cozy up and like watch movies, drink hot chocolate and like, you know, just be together, which is really fun.
Yeah. I caroled for choir, and so it felt like work, but I don't do it now, but it was a highlight of the year because it'd be at the Bean. Mm-hmm. It was called Caroling at Cloudgate, and it was always cold, so my grandma would watch it on TV, and my mom would always come, and yeah, I just remember that always being fun. It would be ice cold, but that was fun. But now I do like the Kris Kringle Mart because I buy little special ornaments there. I met the nicest nuns, And I bought ornaments from nuns last year. And I was like, yes, supporting the cause. They're in this, like, they're out in the suburbs, but they come to the city and they sell ornaments to raise money. And I also like, last year, me and my family went to the, I think it's called the Berghof. It's like a German restaurant. And we had like schnitzel. We had a lot of beer. And then we walked down the street to the Chris Kendall Mart. And we like bopped around and bought stuff. And it was really fun. Like, it's nice. I think I've mentioned this before, but like, I don't have any children in my family. And so holidays are very low stakes in that way, where we can all have like adult fun together and be out late and drink and be merry. And we don't have to go home and wrap gifts for children that we don't have. You know what I mean?
Right, so that's
typically what our holiday is like. Something that goes pretty late and something that involves a festive cocktail. And yeah, this year I'm going to work on my wrapping skills. I'm really bad at gift wrapping.
I love wrapping gifts.
It's like a sport to some.
I love it. It's like give me some good tape and some beautiful paper and some ribbons, and I'm just like, and a little nice little bourbon drink and some music.
That's what I was talking about.
And I can wrap gifts for hours.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, like just like, and then I'll just start wrapping random stuff like tissue boxes.
You're like, since I'm here,
just to wrap.
I love that. Is that like kind of a activity for you? Like,
yeah.
Okay. It's something you look forward to?
I love it. I love, like, literally, I had to decide, like, what are the things does Santa leave out? You know, because it's kind of like, I want to wrap everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I just enjoy it. It's cathartic. It feels fun to do. The other thing we do, which I completely forgot to say, is we go see the Nutcracker every year.
Oh. I was about to ask you that. I was like, is the play that you see the Nutcracker?
Yeah. Well, we'll see the Nutcracker, but, like, I'm trying to think of, I can't even think of the name of the play. It's the one with, not Scrooge. It is Scrooge.
I know what you're talking about. But he has the dreams. He sees Christmas past, Christmas future.
Oh,
Christmas Carol.
The Christmas Carol.
What was that, Charles?
Thank you.
Yes. Christmas Carol.
So we'll go see the Christmas Carol, the play.
Oh.
But then we'll also go see the Nutcracker.
I'm seeing
as well.
A black version of the Nutcracker this year.
Yes.
It's the Duke Ellington Nutcracker. I hope this comes out after.
Where is that playing?
At the Auditorium Theater.
Nice.
I'm very excited.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That'll be fun.
Well, for me, I'm a mother sous chef, so that means I'm chopping up veggies. And I whip out a glass of champagne. I've got my Dave Brubeck Christmas music on, and the fireplace is going, and it's just a vibe. I'm just vibing. And you know, Jennifer, sometimes you spend the holiday apart from your children. So I'm curious to hear what makes it this holiday special for you now.
So now the holidays for me, I've embraced them looking different, right? Like every year is going to be a different experience. And part of the tradition is that it's going to be non-traditional. Like, it's just going to be different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, when I am with them, I try to make memories that are special for us, you know, whether it be where we go or how we celebrate or, you know, what is memorable about the way we share gifts that particular year. Like, actually, last year, this was so much fun. I did because, you know, teenagers, they just want money. You know what I mean? They want to choose what they want to buy.
Yeah.
And so I actually, you know, wrapped all these bills, you know, bills of different quantities of bills of money, right? And I hid them around the house, and it was like this big scavenger hunt, but it was literally like they had to find all the things, right?
The Hunger Games.
Yeah, kind of. Well, kind of. It turned out like, no, but it was so fun because it was something different for them, but it was also like you know, it is a different way to unwrap a gift, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
And
right.
so we just kind of made a game of it. So I've just sort of embraced making it traditionally untraditional. Yeah. You know, every year it's going to just be a different experience. And, you know, this year they're not with me, but, you know, I'm trying to go to New Zealand anyway. You know what I mean?
You and this.
So I'm yeah. working on that.
You need a GoFundMe page or, for this New Zealand trip.
Well, okay. you know, or to like, you know, I'm going to just find a way to make it special in that way. And it's also not like I'm alone, you know, because I'm mm-hmm. also with my family and my parents and cousins and all the things. But I, you know, I just have to rethink what it looks like.
And you have like a different role.
How about you guys?
Christmas time is special for me because I get to see relatives I don't otherwise see. You know, that's one of the big bank holidays where everyone comes out the woodwork. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so you see people you haven't seen in a while. And baking is a big component of Christmas, and I love to bake. And so I get to try new cookies and cakes and things like that. And I just think it's something special about snow and cold weather and bundling up and just like being physically together.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Cheryl, what about you?
You know, honestly, I think what makes holidays so special is food and children. Food and children. There's nothing more joyful than to experience Christmas through the eyes of a child. It reconnects you to the child in you. So that makes it special. And, well, all right. Everybody in the Christmas mood now, if you're not by now, this episode recording this should definitely put us in the mood. All right. So what do you want for Christmas, Jennifer?
I'm afraid.
Me too.
Are you bracing yourself, Taylor?
I'm scared.
Why are you scared? I want to go to New Zealand.
Okay.
With a man. Just kidding.
Oh my gosh.
What about you, Taylor? What do you want for Christmas?
I think I, too, am trying to do more trips than tangible gifts. And so maybe, like, the beginnings of booking a trip would be a good gift.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I'm trying to do experiences over items. Mm. So that's why, right. like, I'm going to do the Duke Ellington Nutcracker with my mom. Because perfume she can run out of, hand lotion she can run out of, but like she'll remember this thing we did together.
Yeah.
So a trip.
Okay. Cheryl, what do you want for Christmas?
Well, since I started it in a Toni Morrison kind of mood, let me close out. You know the phrase, peace on earth?
Yeah.
I want peace in me. That's what I want for Christmas. Oh. Just peace. Just this.
That was Nelson Mandela.
All right. And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you liked what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson. That's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Long, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
And you can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online. When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and a part of the NPR network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is Chief Content Officer. Production assistance by Justin Bull. Engineering by Maria Lopez. See y'all next week.
Will they help me get a man for Christmas?